Blog Talk Radio.
Coast to Coast DJ. True.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
If I die.
Like these angels in the sky, like this blunt for the truth. Most don't handle what life got inside. The government fucked up, time's running out. Korea pissed off, Obama doesn't help. In honor of Boston, I'm seeing it now. Now all these problems pulling us down. Dream with an angel chased through life, giving me direction, what's wrong and right. I chose my path and I'm sitting here like, if I die young, it was really meant to be for me to see. The path I chose, which plate I ate. From what I know, I'm trapped in a sea with no boat. If I die young, it's time for me to go.
I'm eating gold in a tomb like a pharaoh. Study my mind, just believe you'll find thoughts so raw they're unsterile. You'll see the reason why, guarantee I pulled that arrow. I aim for the head, it's a motherfucker dead. I'm determined down to the marrow. To succeed, I got big dreams and a nappy head that tells high like a satellite or a slave's mind in the daylight. So let the pain dry. Poet mind when I'm in the fight. We gon' be like these tonight. Getting high just in case I die.
Well, in case I die young,
If I die young.
All right, here we are. Another Friday night with nothing to lose. And it's the 5th of July, the 5th. Here we go, yeah. Like the post-Independence Day night. Wow, it's almost like, you know, Christmas Eve, except, you know, later. So, yeah, anyhow, wow, that opening song was by one of our featured guests tonight, the hip-hop and rap artist Low, from his debut album Wild, and it's spelled Wild with a Y, W-Y-L-D, and we will get to him here shortly. In the meantime, though, you know, I've got to bring on my my co-host here, Mr. Michael DeGasinski, and my other co-host, who is perpetually late, Dr. Quinn. I'm sure she will join us here shortly, but yeah, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Mr. Michael DeGasinski. How are you doing there, buddy? Are you there?
Hola, hola, señor Fruger.
Hola, hola. Como estas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, here we are, man.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've done a show.
Yeah, well, we had reruns going for the past couple of weeks, and apparently the reruns have been doing really well. So anyhow, yeah, here we are, live again, once again, man, and it's July 5th, you know? Wow. And it's a Friday, nothing to lose, and we've got a couple of great, really cool guests here tonight, Lo, and also the poet, actor, and underground Renaissance man, Walter Beck, will be joining us in the second hour of the show. This Walter Beck guy has done a lot of really cool things, too. Not only is he a poet, but he is an actor, and he is a Civil War reenactor, and he has some, so anyhow, yeah, it's going to be a fun show, and so hey, I understand you've been camping and stuff here lately. What's going on with you?
Yes, I was out roughing it.
Roughing it, huh?
New York in the woods. Yeah,
roughing
wow,
it with your cell
know.
Phone?
Well, but see, there was no means to charge the cell phone, so, you know, I had to...
Okay.
That's roughing it. So I could only turn it on periodically throughout the day, you know.
Wow, yeah, okay. So, I mean, how was it? You know, you just recently turned, what, 31?
Yes, I'm an old fart now.
I'm going
to switch over to Diet Coke and switch over to Diet Coke, things like that. We were camping. It was good. It was kind of humid. And, you know, I was kind of bummed last night. No one was shooting off any fireworks. And then I come to find out that fireworks of any kind at home are illegal in New York State. So,
as they are here in Ohio, too. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
just
yeah.
sat there looking at each other like assholes all day.
Hey, you know what? I think our Indiana co-host, Dr. Quinn, might be available. Let's see here. Dr. Quinn, are you there?
Well,
Dr. Quinn,
certainly
paging
you,
Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn.
I can certainly tell you that the fireworks are not illegal in Indiana. And let me tell you how bad it sucks.
You know, I've never lived in a state... in a state, Queen, where every firework is illegal. I mean, you know, normally you can at least get, like, sparklers or something stupid like that.
You can't, you seriously can't even have sparklers.
No, every firework is banned here. All home fireworks, they don't sell them in any
that
store.
Is,
none of that. None of that, so I don't know. It's weird.
Really?
I've never lived somewhere.
So then, okay, so then aside from looking at each other...
Yeah.
Do you at least get to go down to the local park and see someone else blow it off?
They can blow off professional fireworks, and it was kind of shitty because, you know, we're sitting around at night last night around a campfire and all that shit, and we could hear these fireworks going off, but there were trees
right.
all around us, so you couldn't see them. So it was like, you know, the ultimate costume.
Oh, that's a buzzkill.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I survived.
Yeah, that's a fucking bummer. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never go camping again, will you?
I'll go over the border. I'll go to Pennsylvania next time over the border.
No, come here and it'll be just like in a war zone where you can't tell the shooting from the actual, you know, fireworks.
So it's pretty loud all night long out there, Quinn? Is that what you're saying?
I'm back at my undisclosed location, and it seems that the cutoff was midnight.
Wow,
so
okay.
It seems to die after midnight.
Undisclosed location.
Undisclosed
location right there in Indiana, that's kind of creepy in itself. So anyhow, yeah, we're going to focus on, it's a Friday. It's a Friday night again, and here we are with nothing to lose. And, we've got two featured guests here tonight. And first off, we've got the hip-hop and rap artist Lo. The opening song was, by Lo. And He's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And, you know, we're going to get him on here like stat. And
Lancaster, isn't that the Amish Mafia? Aren't they from Lancaster,
the Amish
Pennsylvania?
His debut album here, which is an 8-track. I like the way that sounds, 8-track, because I'm a 70s kid. You know, I know he's way younger than I am, but he's a 70s.
Nice.
Eight pieces on this debut album by Lowe, and the title of it is Wild. And so let's, you know what, with no further ado here, let's bring on Lowe and let's talk to him about his debut album. Hello, Lowe. Lowe.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Are you in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania time?
Yeah, I heard you were saying about the Amish Mafia.
Is that from Lancaster, right?
It's crazy out here. They're mad Amish people. Like, I mean, that's not really my lifestyle, but, I mean, they do them. I go past them on the road, you know what I mean?
Are they really?
Are they doing the whole Rumspringa thing?
Yeah, they get wild.
Got our rum spring head, cut and wrap.
Do they really? They get wild?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, hey, man. Glad to have you on. And the tracks you have in Wild, I mean, I've listened to them all. The little 8-track. 8-track, I love that because, see, I'm from the 70s, and I used to have an 8-track. Player, you're probably way too young to remember that 8-track, but yeah, man, it's really solid. Well, I mean, what got you into the whole rap scene and everything and hip hop? I mean, what inspired
you?
Well,
see, there's a couple different things.
Uh-huh.
One being like my family, me and my brothers. You know, we used to listen to music all the time, and you know, my first thing I heard was rap. And, I mean, we just all connected that way. And me and my friends, when I went through school, you know, we started picking up, like, you know, we want to start rapping. And I was only, like, 12 or 13 when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much, you know.
What were your influences back then? Yeah, so I was getting ready to ask. What are some of your early influences?
My early influences, I say, I used to listen to, like, Ludacris and all them because I was, like, you know, I was, like, more... He was more in style at that time. Like, he was more, like, you know, he was more, he was a main person. But, like, now, up to today, like, I would have to say, like, my favorite artist would be, like, Kid Ink. I think, like, he's doing his thing right now.
Oh, you said Kid 8? Oh, I'm sorry.
Kid Ink.
I'm sure I'm probably showing my age.
No, Kid Ink.
Okay.
You know who Kid Ink is?
Probably not. No, we don't. We're all way too old.
Who is Kid Ink?
He's a major artist. He's got signed RCA Records. He's based out of California.
Wait, hold on. Let's take a look here. I probably wasn't quite understanding.
Kid Ink is
I-N-K. K-I-D-I-N-K.
Yeah, I-N-K.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you have to, Kid Ink.
All right, now I got it, okay. Okay, continue.
Okay, yeah, anyway.
I wasn't
finished with the inspirations as well. Another big, really big thing that inspired me was back in 2011, there was four of my best friends got in a huge car accident. And
oh,
they died. And,
all of them?
I mean, like, yeah, all four of them. And,
oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, really, like, now, like, to know that they're, you know, you only live once and you've got to do what you can while you live is how
sure.
I look at it. And, like, I know I can do this and I know that it's my dream and I will succeed because I have people in the air looking over me and they want me, you know, to do well.
Well, that's something. Jesus.
Yeah, all right. Well, man. So, Okay, I mean, I mean, that was a little like, wow, I didn't expect that. It was kind of heavy.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, we're all kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. All your best friends, four of your friends died.
Wow.
I mean, that's honestly my biggest inspiration. It's definitely.
Yeah?
Wow.
Okay, so how do you get out there and, like, promote yourself? I mean, have you ever performed live?
Yeah. I actually got a couple shows coming up. I'll be in Lancaster. I'll be opening up for D Pride. And out in New York, I'll be opening up for Obie Trice.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Have you done that before? Have you performed live before?
Yeah, I've performed live plenty of times.
Really?
I haven't opened for any major artists, but I've done, like, a whole bunch of, like, huge dance parties.
Uh-huh.
I've done, like, you know, smaller venues and such as that.
And what's that like?
In front of, like,
what's that like for you? You get nervous or you just get in the zone?
No, that's the thing. Like, my mixtape, it's labeled Wild because, like, I am wild. Like, I'm not,
I love that.
I'm not scared. Like, I'm just really hyped. I love being, there's no reason to be nervous in front of even a million people. Like,
right.
I feel like it's just, you know, that's just what I like to do. Like, I love turning up.
Yeah, and do you get
the crowd moving.
Do you get, like, sort of a natural high from that, sort of performing live?
I mean, I don't know, a natural high.
I like poets, too.
But, yeah, I mean, the title alone, Wild, and spelled with a Y, I mean, I love that. I mean, that's wild, and, yeah, I could see that about you, man. Wild for sure. hot damn. I mean, it's kind of weird that, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, a white hip-hop artist out of Pennsylvania, I mean, that's not typical.
That's not coming here.
You know, I'm so curious.
You know what? I've just told you that I got told that at least 100 times, and I'm still just getting farther and farther along in my career. Like,
yeah.
Sure. So, how have you been received in other communities or in other hip hop circles?
What do you mean by that exactly?
I mean, I guess, you know, well, obviously your music is taking off. Who is your fan base?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
It's different. It's state to state. Like, over Twitter, like, my fan base grew starting off from, like, my town, and then I started getting along with Twitter and started doing, you know, using Twitter. And after that, I just started building people from, like, different states. Like, I have Ohio. They want me to come out to perform with for them. So, I mean.
In Ohio?
Most of my fan base would be, yes, Ohio.
That's
awkward because, like, I'm from Lancaster. Like, I don't know why Ohio, but Ohio really fucks with my music. But,
New
York.
I'm telling you about Ohio.
I'm an Ohio boy here, actually, there, low. Ohio is very, I don't know, I think it's underrated. It's very wild and diverse, wild with a Y, actually, to be honest. And you know, that doesn't surprise me that you have a large fan base or whatnot in Ohio, man. I would love to see you perform live. You have any idea where you might potentially be performing in Ohio, or?
Because, like, this girl's softball team, I was going to do, like, a song for them, and they, like, supported me from, like, Ohio, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, like, they were, like, obsessed with my music. Like, it was awesome. But anyway, like, like, I forget what I'm trying to think of the school name. I think it was, like, River Spring or something like that? I don't even know.
Yellow Spring?
I don't know, but maybe.
I've never heard of her.
It's not River Spring. No, just take that out. I would have to say it's like, name some places, some big, like, city names.
Name
some cities, Brian. What, like Dayton? You got Dayton.
Woo!
I don't know, man. I forget, but, yeah. I do want to get out there, though.
Well, that's awesome. So where else might you be going? I mean, Ohio, where else, if you do go on, you say you are going to tour or do some live shows, where...
I'm planning on, getting planned on, the shows. I'm still planning the shows out and stuff. But, I performed up in Atlanta for a showcase.
Whoa,
I performed
Atlanta.
In New York for a showcase in front of Universal. And it was Bad Boy Records.
Nice.
And I mean, because I started off in Atlanta, it was the event thing's called SCMC. And they have, A&Rs, watch you perform, and they critique you, and, if they think you have potential, they move you on to the next thing. So I went there, I performed, and I got a free admission to go up to the New York one, 2 weeks later. So I got in the booth with my producer, we put together a beat and all that stuff, and I went up to New York and performed with it. And I got the contacts of Bad Boy Records, A&Rs, and Universals. From performing shit like that. So, I mean, that and also RCA Records, I've been talking to them. They want to start taking my music to their meetings and stuff. So, it's a process.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what's it like for you, as far as the creative process, working in a studio, and I'm sure you have an engineer or whatnot, helping you out with, the beats, everything else. What's that process like to you? I'm very fascinated by the whole creative process as far as, putting something together like that and collaborating. What's that like for you?
I mean, really, in process of what I do when I when I write a song, I usually, it's either in a studio or just a calm show spot where it's just me. Because, I don't really writing with other people in the room because it takes my focus off.
Right.
So, When I sit down, I do what I do, and I listen to some beats, and, I just, think. I just what's going to sound, entertaining for people on this beat or in the next beat or whatever. What sounds good in this beat, what doesn't sound good, whatever, all that stuff. And then when I find a beat, I find out, where a chorus, a real good, catchy something that, someone can repeat in their head, maybe mainstream. Because I'm working towards more mainstream for my next mixtape.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and, that's a good segue there because, a lot of underground, mixtapes or whatnot and rappers and hip-hop artists, you've got the underground ones, who create music that you would never, ever, ever hear on the radio just because it's a little out there. You know what I mean? So, and I respect that. But at the same time, if you really want to make it big, there's that you have to compromise some of your, creative influences or whatnot to try to go mainstream just to, to make the dough and, move forward and hit it big. Do you have any conflict with that for yourself personally? I mean.
Yeah, I would never. If I ever get a record label to tell me I need a change, I'll tell them they can drop me off their label because you signed me for me. That's the reason. It's not you wanting to make me as someone like me. I'm gonna be me. Why would you want to change something that you like? You know what I mean?
Right.
You obviously like me if you're signing me.
Right. At the same time though. So you want to be a little more mainstream, you mentioned. And,
yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I think, all you need is one good tune, catchy tune, that will, play infinitely on, the radio and or whatnot, and then people will hear it, and you'll get millions of fans. So is that kind of something you're looking to do?
Yeah, that's more. Yeah, and then once I get all them fans, I don't have to be fully mainstream. I still do me and do that underground work.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow, man. Yeah. All right. That's cool. You got it, man. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm working on my single right now with one of our artists out of here. He's actually a band, a rock band. Their name's From Under the Willow. They're really good. They're starting. They went on tour. They're starting to blow up. But their lead vocalist, I have him featuring on my new single. And it's real mainstream, so that's why I said my new single's going to be... we're looking to get on a lot of radio stations, big radio stations.
Nice.
No.
Nice. All right, man. Well, hey, how about we're going to play another one of your songs here. Let's see here. Making of a Movie, is that... Or no, yeah. Making of a Movie.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, we're going to play that real quick, and we'll be right back. All right, man?
All right.
All right. You're doing great. Thanks. All right.
Hey, yo, check this out. You rocking with that Flacco nigga, Jack, a.k.a. ASAP Rocky. Coast to coast, bitch.
They see me.
Planes Delta got me booked in. Probably walk right in the spot and blow the curtain. They blind to amazing. They blind that I'ma make it. I'm blind to all these haters that be acting too shady. Damn, I'm so high. My mind probably facing stars in my eyes. The sky is for the chasing. They prone to a fresh mortar. Ceiling's what I'm raising. Your bitch like the cake and a flavor tasting tasty. She licking on my lollipop. Me like a Vegas and the green is roaring loud. Big blood, stop and face it. Sipping on the purple, ball like Kobe Bryant. The green that go loud, this bud's such a sign. Smoking paper plane, it got your bull fly. Death to a foofy bitch, my head is turned side.
Tell me where the blood's at, tell me where the loud at. Tell me where to lean at, tell me where to lean at. Tell me where the blood's at.
This purple got me leaning. Tell me where the blunt's at. Roll it with a loud pack. See me where the money talk. Boy, I go and count that. Talking Benz and Bentleys. Me and your girl getting friendly. She been blowing up my phone. Say I didn't get the message. Tell these haters piss off, cause I know that I'm the shit. Now it's kinda funny, cause these haters tryna hold my dick. They tryna ride and do it big. Long body rolled up. My head and I'm fucked until I float up. Sipping on the purple, ball like Kobe Bryant. The green that go loud, this bud's such a sign. Smoking paper plane, it got your bull fly. Death to a foofy bitch, my head is turned side.
Tell me where the blunt's at, tell me where the loud at. Tell me where to lean at, tell me where to lean at. Tell me where the blunt's at.
Coast to Coast Mixtapes presents Wild. My man Low did his thing. And we out of here, man. Let's go.
You're rocking with the most downloaded mixtape series in the world. World. Coast to Coast Mixtapes.
Hot damn. Yeah, that was Making of a Movie by our featured guest here, Low. Man, so, you know, it amazes me. You know, I wish I had the talent, you know, to be a musician or anything like that. wow, that was good. That's good. I mean, where do you find, you know, when you start thinking of, like, the lyrics that you write for your songs or whatnot, does it just, like, come to you all of a sudden? It's like when I write, I know, it like, comes at me, like, the most inopportune times. I'll be in the shower, driving a car. I'll be like, oh, damn, that's a good idea. What's it like for you as far as the creative process goes, Lo?
I mean, I have some crazy ideas in the shower. I agree with that, honestly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's always like the weirdest time.
Good. You know, just drop a couple of lines, just, you know, good. Like, but I mean, I don't know. Like, there's days, honestly, I'll be completely honest with you. There's days where, like, I have, like, a writer's block, I swear. Like, I just can't write.
Right.
Like, I'm stuck on retarded. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
I think that happens to all
like,
of us.
Yeah, and I don't understand why it happens, but, I mean, it's whatever. But, like, actually recently, you know, I've actually been writing, like, every day. Like, I haven't slept. I haven't slept for the past 36 hours.
Damn.
Yeah,
you're definitely the typical artist, man. That happens. You have those, like, manic phases where you're, like, manic. You're like, bam, bam, bam. Do you keep, like, a notebook handy with you at all times or, like, a little notepad or something to write ideas down or what?
I use my notepad in my iPhone.
So you haven't slept for 36 hours, and why is that?
Yeah,
you going through
crazy,
a manic phase or?
No, I don't know. Like I got up and went to work today. Like I even like I went to work on 36 hours and no sleep. Like tell me how the hell that is. It's crazy. Why am
I
going to?
I don't operate heavy machinery.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, okay. What do you do, like, in your, you know, as far as work? I mean, I know your passion is, you know, writing and rapping and making music and all that, but what do you do in the meantime? Because that's fascinating to me, too, is that the fact that people can, you know, have a 9-to-5 or whatnot type job, yet still maintain that creative edge. So what exactly do you do in the meantime, while you're trying to do all this?
I mean, to get the money and stuff. I mean, you know, I get paid off features, of course, but I mean, for a real actual job, like my father owns a business and I work under his business. It's like constructive home cleanings. Like it's like houses that ain't, they're done, but they ain't like nothing moved into them. They're just like empty houses, and they're like $1 million houses, and like you clean them. And then, you know, they get sold off and blah, 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 all that stuff. It's not a bad job, you know. Like, I mean, I don't mind it, but when you have 36 hours of sleep, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. You know, I find it amazing, you know, people who can maintain that balance, you know. You know, making the money just to, you know, to keep a roof over your head and to eat and all that. And at the same time, still be creative, you know, and be able to chase, you know, your passion and your art. I mean, that's...
And I'm sure there's a lot of pressure there because you're working for your dad's business. You can't really just, like, not show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't skip ever. It sucks. It's horrible. But you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
Okay, who's going?
Go ahead, Quinn. You sound primed. Go ahead.
No, I was, and perhaps if I missed this as I was drinking my beer here, what does your family think of, you know, you're working for your dad and everything. What is the, are they cool with this? Did they envision you on another career trajectory?
I mean, there's no musical talent in my family at all.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like it was a given. Like, it was, I was made to do it. Like, stuff happened in my life to make me realize that. And I feel like that's just where it led me. And, like, music's my thing. And I love music. Like, if I walk into a room full of, like, whatever the hell is going on, the first thing I notice is going to be music.
Okay.
Nice. That's just how I have an ear for music.
Nice. Well, yeah, and it shows. I mean, you're very talented, man. honestly, wow. And you're so young.
Yeah,
that's, the, That's what, you know, that's the thing that amazes me. You're so, what, you're only, what, 19?
Yeah.
See, that I find that, like.
You shave it.
I find that astounding, man. You're this talented and you have your shit together this much at such a young age. And you're pursuing, you know, your dreams, whatever, and your art, and maintaining that balance. That's phenomenal, man. You are really, I mean, you're going in the right path. I mean, I'm sure your parents have to be proud, and all of your friends, everybody else, man. This music, it's good. All your songs that I've heard in this, you know, mixtape track that you have going here, man, wild. It is definitely wild. It's really freaking good, man. Just astounding.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, no joke. I mean, I can't believe you're only 19 and you. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was some trippy arrangements on that last one.
Really? Yeah, it gets wild, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the mixtape title explains itself. Like through the music, it's just wild. Like my voice is wild. You know, that lips are wild. Everything's crazy.
So I'm still kind of.
I know you said you're doing those showcases and you're trying to get, you know, stuff played on the big radio stations. But, you know, how much of your time is actually spent, like, marketing? Do you, like, go out and hand out mixtapes at the grocery stores? Do you just sit there and try to social media? I mean, you know.
Sorry, excuse me, what? I couldn't hear you.
I was just saying, you know, I know you work and all that, and you're saying you're trying to get your stuff playing on the radio and doing showcases. How much of your time is actually spent marketing? How do you market? You got to go out there and hand out CDs at the grocery stores or what?
I mean, that you just got to promote. You got to work your ass off. You
sit there and social media. I mean, you have Facebook pages, Twitters.
I feel like I said Philly is like, you know, Philly, you know, Philadelphia, right?
Yeah,
that's like 2 hours away from me. So I went up there, you know, hand out some mixtape stuff, and I walked into some stores, and I was like, yeah, like, I have a mixtape dropping, and, you know, I'm going to bring it up here. Can I, you know, they have a DJ set up in the clothing stores. So, like, they play in the clothing stores. They said, yeah, it's fine. Like, they like the music enough
cool.
that they would do that. So, I mean, that worked out in a way. You know, just knowing people in different states definitely helps, you know, tell them to spread the music. I have a friend from Harrisburg. His name's Young Swerve. He's actually getting looked at by, who is it? Capitol Records?
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And he's only 15, 16.
Oh, wow.
His name's Young Swerve. He's doing his thing out there, so he helps me promote as much as I help him, you know. He's like a little brother to me in the music.
Cool.
Well, we're like a little, like, if you think about it, like Young Money, like, you know, Birdman, Wayne, like that's spot on. I don't know, like a little Chucky and Lil Wayne, like
right.
Young Swerve and Luck. Yeah, it's like my little brother.
Nice. Well, yeah, it is. You know, when, you know, you're an underground, you know, independent artist such as yourself, you know, it's all grassroots, man. You've got to reach out and promote however you can and all that. You know, your sound is so good. It's different. I mean, I can see, I mean, from listening to your little 8-track here, your wild 8-track, it's really good, man. You know what? All right, I'm gonna go ahead and play another one of your songs here. All right, and then we'll be right back. And you cool with that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Oh, all right, man. Here we go.
This is Lil Fat CEO of Coast to Coast checking in on the Wild Mixtape. Shout to Low. Let's get into another joint. Let's go.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Wiz Khalifa, man. Yo, shout out to Coast to Coast DJs. Make sure y'all download the mixtape at coasttocoastdjs.com.
I I'm different. And damn right, that's my inspiration. I'm gonna get it popping with my drink, flavor tropic. Life is like a gun, we just stand up and cock it. Oh, we shooting the shit like I'm West around popping. I'm getting to it ASAP without any mobbing. I'ma put on for my team. I'm lighting up this draw, I'm about to cause a huge scene. With my pedal to the flow, on the road, full of blockades, trying to take the right path. Which way do I go? Never running out of gas. Haters trying to ride my ass, I'm just trying to throw some cash. Got my middle finger up, high of marijuana hat. Make me bite the wire, blood game whiplash. Got my head held high, go full Davy on their ass. Do. Blood sticky like some glue. Blood lit, ready, eyes low like the sunset. Dark camo, skinny Jesus beats with my crew neck. Cherry pie slices getting chopped up. Whipped cream going off a full pie. Put me in my own drink. Oh, drink. Goddamn, they make me bite the wire. Sick of all this horror, make me go my mind. I'm a polio insane. Put my middle finger higher. Rocking all this Prada, all this Gucci, got a lot of gold with the pot of success. Feels like I'm living off the edge when I ain't even show. Keep my head held high, middle finger higher. Yeah, let's buckle, buckle, buckle. Make me bite the wire, man. It smell like cherry pie. Lighting up this fire. Feels like I've been through hell, but I gotta keep climbing.
Yeah, that was another song by our featured guest here, Lo, from his, I guess, are you comfortable calling it an album? I mean, would you call Wild?
It's more like an EP.
Okay.
Like a mixtape EP.
Right, okay. See, I get confused because I'm old school. I mean, mixtapes. I'm mixtapes to me back when I was a kid and all that was a little cassette, you know, that somebody put a bunch. Right, I know. So what to you? I mean, what to you is a mixtape? I mean, what is the definition? Or I guess there's definitely a different word or term. Or idea for a mixtape, as far as like you know hip hop and everything goes, is that correct? I mean, from what general public would think, yeah.
Yeah, for Wild, like for mine, I would have to say a mixtape, like an EP, would be like something you're showing your fans what you're like. Honestly, I did it because it's my first big mixtape thing, and it brought me on. You know, to give like an example of each type of genre of music, what I am. Like, yeah, it's all rap, but I mean, there's one songs for ladies, there's turn up songs, there's like more serious songs.
Right.
And I did a whole bunch of variety because like this this is for like the record labels to hear. So like as an RCA, like, and they hear that, they're gonna hear like a different type for each song. Other than well, if I would do one mixtape and just make it all, you know, one type.
Nice.
So that's really the difference between an EP and a mixtape. Like, you know, a mixtape, you can like the standards don't need to be as much. Like you can use beats that other artists use because you're not making profit off it. It's just a mixtape. But as in like a mixtape EP, you know, that's more serious to where you want to get your own stuff because, you know, that can make a career for all you know.
Nice.
So you want to have your own beats and everything. So that's my definition of mixtape EP.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I got to admit, man, you are sharp. You really know what the hell you're talking about. You really sounds like you are really in tune, both creatively and artistically, but also on the other side too. You know, and that's a hard thing, I think, for a lot of artists. And I mean, and no matter what the genre or you know, be it artist, musician, poet, writer, rapper, or whatnot, to wrap their mind around, you know, marketing themselves and being on top of their whole, you know, the whole thing that you got going on there. And it's like, you, man, and you're only 19. That's what's blowing my mind right now is you have it. I mean, you have the sound, you have the art, but you also, behind the scenes, it seems like you are really sharp and really know your way around it. I mean, you know what you're talking about, and you know where you're going with it, and that is very impressive, man. I shit you not. Flat out. Wow.
I appreciate that.
No, I'm being honest, too. It's like am I this floored by my, you know, guests like this, but man, you wow. and shit. So what's next for you? I mean, what do you foresee in the future?
This is the next single. I'm really gonna get some promotion into it. I'm gonna get a music video for it. I'm gonna do a whole bunch for it. Track me, you know, maybe make the MTV. And I know my publicist is, you know, Dominique. I'm sure he can, you know, do as much of power as he can, you know, help me get that song out there as well. So, I mean, with this, like I said, this single that we're going to drop, I'll probably give it like a month or so, we're going to drop it. I'm really hoping to just, like, you know, like, I don't want to say, you know, get a deal off of it, but, I mean,
right.
I want to gain that gain onto, like, a, you know, maybe an FM radio station, like, to where everybody's hearing me every day, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm getting played every day on FM stations. That's what I want to do.
Right.
That's
well, yeah.
Think about it. That's where the money comes in. I would never say I'm doing it for my music for the money. I'm doing it for my family and support my family and my friends.
Right.
But
I mean, there's no shame in that, man. If you want to move forward and all that, you gotta shoot for the stars. And it sounds like you got what it takes, man. I'm really impressed. And you have to definitely keep in touch with all of us here. You know, at Nothing to Lose, and I get my coffee and Literary Underground and all that. We're definitely going to keep following you, man. I mean, I'm really sincerely impressed. I have not been like this impressed and floored by a guest I've had on here and forever. I mean, just you really have your shit together, and you really are smart. I mean, it just blows my mind. You're only 19. That just I can hear your dad, and that's just is crazy to me. Wow. It just goes to show that, man, you know, you stay on this path and whatnot. I mean, yeah, someday you're going to be on an FM radio station. You're going to be on MTV. You're going to be on YouTube with a video. So, yeah, so – speaking of, you said you wanted to make a music video. Have you ever tried or attempted that yet, or what's going on with that?
I've made one that was less professional, and I didn't want to release it because I don't want my stuff to look unprofessional.
Right.
So, I mean, really, it's just getting the money together for the big music video, and that's with this music video. Or when we get the song out, the song's gonna be it's gonna be so catchy. I already know the chorus. Like the chorus is in my head, and it's not even recorded yet. Like,
do you have a title for this song yet? Will you give us at least a working title right now, just to give us an idea?
Yeah, I'm thinking to call it "Live for You Tonight."
Call it what? I'm sorry. What was that?
Live for You Tonight.
Okay. And is there any, like, particular, like, inspiration behind it, or?
Yeah, it would be the boys I lost.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool, man. All right, well, So where is the best place for, if anybody's interested who's listening or will listen to this in archives as well, where's the best, you know, best place for people to look you up and whatnot and hear you and experience your music?
If you go on my Twitter, it's just at low too high. That's at LoweTooHigh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, follow me. I'll follow you guys back. You know, check me out. My music, it's a link to my Wild EP is right on my bio. So you just got to click right on the bio and it'll come right up.
Nice.
Other than that, you know, any booking or features, anything, you know, my email's in there as well for that. So.
Awesome. Well, you know what? We're definitely going to have to stay in touch. I'm not much of a Twitter guy. I'm too old to, like, understand Twitter. But,
yeah, but I can never say what I want to say in 140 characters.
Yeah, I can't either. I'm too old for that. Too old for that.
Really? What I use it for is promotion, really. Like, that's
oh, right.
Twitter
right.
is made for music. It really is.
Okay, well, cool.
Like, You can get a hold. If you think about it, back in the day, like, you know, Twitter and stuff wasn't available. Like, it was so hard to get a hold of an artist for a feature. Now you can hit up Meek Mill for a feature, throw him the money, and get him a feature like that. Just from getting, because their email's right there. Like, that's just a given. That's a given.
See, this boy is
sharp.
You gotta
use those things to your advantage, you know?
He definitely is. This boy's sharp. And, you know, he's talented, too. His music's. It fucking rocks. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man, and sharing, you know, your music and everything. And you know what? I'm a fan, I have to say. I am definitely a fan. And Wild Indeed with a Y, W-Y-L-D. I've loved it so far, man. We're going to go ahead and phase out here with one last song of yours, G-O-D-Y-E. How do you pronounce that? Jody?
Yeah, Jody. That's
Jody,
you know,
yeah.
Rocky.
It's a good one. It's a good song. Jody, here we go. Thanks for hanging out with us, man, and thanks for being on. And, you know, we've got a whole other hour coming up here with another guest. You're more than welcome to hang out with us if you want. I don't know how busy you are, but you know what? It'll be fun if you just want to hang out with us.
Night.
Coast to Coast DJs, boy.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Shout out ASAP.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, 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 I feel it in my system. That to my victim. Party get popping like we shitting in a chili. Eyes looking low, but I'm feeling like the ceiling. Think I'm about to black out, my body got no feeling. Rolling up the zigzag, only smoke a loud pack. Ghost face on me, unidentified object. I'm the main concept, got you high off contact. Blurry vision, no contact. 8 grams in my blunt, got them looking like cigars. I got a hot head like the point of David Starr. Rapping to her while I feel the breast cancer bars. Ripping in a tux while I'm riding fancy cars. Hey, hey. Ride for my niggas, die for my niggas, nigga. Fuck them up and niggas. I smoke clouds super thick, I think I'm blowing fog. I get to the point like the chips of Freddy's Falls. Best in the blunt, I'm smoking bones and skulls. Vans on my feet, I'm walking on your walls. Designer made belt costs more than your outfit. I'm taking slap shots, I know I got some foul shit. Money, fudge, bitches, I'm fouled it. Writing while I'm higher than the top floor of the palace.
Please change to me, Lord. I am here for you, Lord.
Hey. What?
Walking down a lane of Mary Jane is bending me. They say they feeling me like I'm T.Y.C. I can't give a fuck what you feel. Left for print clothing in the honor of the killing. Watch with the face like Rose by. My bros right beside me, blowing me some shoddy. Ladies all over me, I'm pippin' shoddy. I fuck with all types of the greens. I always eat my broccoli. Praying up to God that I break all these curses. Bloody red bottom like I'm walking out of murder. I like a nice body and I gotta feel a sternum. They jump on 21st Street like I'm Channing Tatum.
Let the Lords toast with the Lords. Toast to the Lords. Become God.
All right, we're back, and we're getting ready to start our second hour of Nothing to Lose on a Friday night, July 5th. Good Lord, it's, July 5th, day after July 4th. How old is our country now, Gasinski?
How old is our country? Hello, what am
I? It's our country's birthday, the day after, belated.
Belated
birthday. Wow, somebody's been dipping in the whiskey.
Yeah, well, now that I've discovered the my hard lemonade items are gluten free, I can drink those hard Long Island iced teas.
Yeah, you could. Hey, so we haven't gotten a chance to talk about J-Hole yet, man.
Oh, yeah, J-Hole, yeah. You know what? Let's
save that for later. All right.
We've got some, pretty fun and raunchy stories, I'm sure, regarding the J-Hole show. But we have another guest here tonight. And his name is Walter Beck, or I don't know if he likes to go by Walter Thomas Beck III, but he's going to be coming up here in just a few minutes, and this guy is amazing too. he's a poet, he is a Civil War reenactor, and he is an actor. He acts in like Rocky Horror Picture Show, et cetera, and all that.
Excellent.
Yeah, crazy stuff. This guy is multi-talented as well, and it just floors me all these talented people we get to hang out with and talk with on a Friday night with Nothing to Lose. And oh my gosh, hey, it looks like You know what? We're gonna have a little Puff the Magic Dragon segue here, and then we're gonna get to Walter Thomas Beck III, Walter Beck, here in just a few minutes, and we're gonna talk with him. He has a lot of really cool things going on too. This guy is multi-talented. He's like a modern Renaissance type guy. I mean, he does it all. All right, we'll be right back, all right? A little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Featured guest, Lo, rapper, hip-hop artist from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the boy is sharp. He's talented and he's sharp. You know, I don't doubt for a second we're going to hear and see, we're going to hear him on FM radio, and we're going to, you know, see his music videos. Well, you know, MTV doesn't play music videos anymore. I mean, that's just, yeah. A given music, there's nothing musical about MTV anymore. They should change their name, but wow. Yeah, all right, so coming up next here, we've got our second featured guest, Mr. Walter Beck from Avon, Indiana. This guy is he's an Indiana boy. Avon, am I pronouncing that right?
Yep.
Dr. Quinn, yep. Avon? This guy,
Avon. It should be Avon.
Oh, Avon, like that shit that, you know, my mom used to sell, like, from the house. So she could, you know, she could feed me chocolate milk and Hershey bars for a little extra cash or whatever, or for her scratch-off. But, yeah. Avon. All right.
Well, why don't we let Walter tell us for sure?
Dr. Quinn, Hoosier yep. State. We've got
right.
a fellow
representing. What
now? That's right. We got a fellow Hoosier coming up here.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this guy is talented as hell. And he's so diverse. He does so much. I mean, it's like he's an actor and he's a poet. He's a writer. He's an activist. I mean, it's
Civil War reenactor.
Yeah, Civil War reenactor. I mean, shit. I mean, wow. I wish I could do that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you know, he has, he's done these, oh my gosh, these little, he did this project. He's a poet, but he collaborated with a musician and an engineer and did some like little lyrical sort of songs or whatnot. I don't know how to describe them. It's a combination of poetry with music. And you know what? I'm gonna play one before we bring him on. I'm gonna play one of his pieces. And let you guys just kind of experience it and feel it. It's very different. You know, you've got him reading his poetry with music in this sort of ambient sound. And we'll go ahead and play that real quick, and then we'll bring him on and we'll talk to him about it. All right, here it goes. Here it goes. Mr. Walter Beck, This Wise Old Man. Here it goes. Him on here. Hold on one second. My switchboard just okay. All right. So yeah, that was Mr. Walter Beck, and the title of that piece was "This Wise Old Man." Wise Old Man, and yeah, it was a collaboration between he and a musician and engineer. Or whatnot, and he has a whole. There's a whole album like this, and it's phenomenal. And this okay, we're gonna bring him on, and we're gonna talk to him about this. But first of all, you know what? Before we bring him on, it is July 5th, right? It is July 5th. Yeah. And you know what? I realized we did not do the Pledge of Allegiance. I was wondering about that. Yeah,
Wow, dude.
Jesus Christ. I am not a patriot at all. I fucked that up. But you know what?
I want you guys
to stand up, remove your hats and your wig, Dr. Quinn, and put your hand on your heart, and put your hand on your heart and shit, and we gotta do the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? Ready? All right, here we go. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Every fucking time.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you, Dr. Quinn? So anyhow, yeah. Did you guys not feel that? I mean, given that it's July 5th, technically, I guess, in some area, you know, like time zones, it's July 6th. But still, given the fact our country's turned, what, 100 million years old now, and
something like that.
So, we are going to bring up our second featured guest here tonight, Mr. Walter Beck, and that piece that we played was from, like I said, a collaboration with musician/engineer who helped him out. It's called No Stone Left Unspoken, and their collaboration, when their album's called Neon Signs. I mean the name of their little group is Neon Signs, but this guy is beyond, you know, that. I mean, he's a poet, he's an activist, he's an actor, he's a Civil War reenactor. My Lord, this guy, he has a lot of shit going on. And so, you know, with no further ado, let's bring him on, okay? Let's just bring this guy on and let him grace us with his genius. Mr. Walter Beck. Mr. Walter Beck III, are you there?
I'm here. By the way, that's...
What up, man? Follow Hoosier.
Right on. By the way, Brian, that's Reverend Walter Beck.
Reverend? Oh, really? You're a reverend? Okay. Are you seriously like an ordained reverend?
Yeah. Legally ordained minister. Weddings, funerals, baptisms, sermons, etc. in the great state of Indiana.
Wow. See?
Fantastic.
This guy is a renaissance man. I'm telling you. He does everything.
By the way, just out of curiosity,
Walter? Hello, Walter?
Yeah, I'm here.
Walter?
Who was the guy who was saying that he was drinking Mike's Hard Lemonades? Who was that?
Oh, that's me.
That's you? I'm sitting here with my last shot of straight wild turkey, and you're drinking Mike's Hard Lemonades. Brian, what kind of show is this?
Where are you?
Pussy. That's a pussy drink. Sorry.
Not my choice, trust me.
Not by choice. Well, what's going on there, Mr. Gosinski? Why are you drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade? I mean, that's like a... Yeah, that's totally like
I,
a...
Because I am so tired of hard ciders and shitty-tasting gluten-free beers. That's why.
You know, there is a solution to this. Just not giving a fuck about gluten.
Yeah, well, I wish I could, you know, but then, boom, it's over. I have an allergy, so it's not that simple.
What happens when you get a little too much gluten there, Mr. Gasinski?
Oh, my God, dude. That's like a shit storm.
Shit storm. You need to document
that. I'd be broadcasting from the fucking dumps down in the pits.
Nah, Lethia wouldn't even let you in the toilet. You'd be, like, sitting outside.
Shit.
Here,
well,
take a hand
shit,
for that.
You know, Brian, you remember when I was in that Cleveland with you, man. I had to shit every 5 minutes. It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. All right.
But back to your wild turkey.
Yeah. So, yeah. Back to you, Mr. Walter Beck. I'm glad you're here, man. And like I said, you are like a renaissance man as far as, like, you know, everything you do. Tell us, I mean, how did this come about, this No Stone Left Unspoken collaboration?
Neon Signs. Well,
uh-huh.
First of all, the guy that made the record with me, Brian, or Myers, as his music alias is,
mm-hmm.
Stage name. Yeah, stage name, that's the right one. I almost said pen name, but that's wrong. Anyway, Brian and I have known each other. God, we went to high school together. You know, me and him used to work a lot of the same shows. We used to be very involved in a lot of the, you know, metal and punk bands that were still around Indianapolis before the emo and hardcore wave fucked it all up.
Right.
He started making these kind of these ambient soundscape albums a couple years ago. I actually got his the first album he cut as My Earth. I actually reviewed it for the music rag I was writing for at the time. Front Row.
What was that? What music rag was that?
It's called the Front Row Report. They're still around. I don't write for them anymore. The editor and I had some disagreements over content. He wanted to take it more in a mainstream direction. I'm pretty hardcore underground guy.
Yeah, I've never thought of you as a, you know, from my interaction with you as being a mainstream type of person. So, well, you know, that in itself is interesting. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? Well, what happened? I mean, what was the creative differences there?
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, it was really just a matter of direction. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I love the editor to death. You know, Reg and I used to work for the Indiana Statesman when we both went to Indiana State. You know, I was actually one of the first writers he hired on when he started the Front Row Report. But like I said, you know, he got more focused on mainstream rock acts. You know, of all the big, you know, touring festivals, that sort of thing, and that's just not me. I mean, you know, there was no fighting. There was no fuck you. It was just like, well, you got your thing. I got my thing. I can't. I mean, like I said, trust me, I'm not mad at the guy. He got me press passes for GWAR last year.
GWAR, huh?
GWAR.
GWAR is pretty fucking hardcore. Wow. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was impressed. GWAR, I mean.
Yeah, GWAR, that's awesome right there.
That's hardcore, dude.
But so like I said, you know, Brian and I have known each other for years, and as far as the actual genesis of the project, as far as I'm concerned, the year before, when I was still living in Terre Haute, one of our local artists got a grant from I think it was Arts Eliana, gave him a few thousand dollars to put together a community album. And he got a hold of me and said, hey, do you want to contribute some poetry to this?
Hmm.
I was like, fuck yeah. So we went out to a speakeasy, which was a bar.
Speakeasy, huh?
It's the Bohemian bar. It's where all the writers and artists and musicians go to get drunk. Needless to say, I was known there. You know, so we go there. He set up his little field recorder, and I don't know, I had 3 or 4 old Milwaukees, a couple of double wild turkeys. I mean, you know, if I'm going to do a record, I got to get, you know, prepared. And he recorded the poem I wrote for his community album. And it was, when the album came out, what I was expecting was, you know, it's just going to be a straight live recording. You know, it's just going to be my voice. It's going to have all this background noise in the bar. It's going to sound pretty cool. But what he did was he took that raw live take and added a bunch of, like, weird industrial sounds and a bunch of ambient stuff. And stuff. I mean, it sounded fucking A. And so that was kind of the genesis of it for me. I got a hold of Brian, asked him if he wanted to do the project. He was like, well, hell yeah. We went in there, I wrote all the poetry, he wrote all the music. I mean, you know, it was a true 50-50 collaboration. That album went from concept to completion in about 2 weeks.
Two weeks? Wow. Seriously?
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. That I find that astonishing.
Yeah, motivated,
I mean,
huh?
Damn. Really? I mean, how did you make that happen in 2 weeks? I mean, that's a pretty big feat there, man. Wow.
Well, all the poems that are on that record had already been written. A lot of them had been published, not all of them, a few of them. So, you know, and he asked me, he's like, well, how do you want to do this? I said, well, you know, the music end of it's yours, so here's what I'll do. I'll send you the poem. You come up with some music that fits it in your head. You send those raw demos back to me, and I'll see how they sound. You know, within 24 hours of me sending poetry, he was sending me back demos. I mean, and it just sounded incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days later, we went to the studio. It was his home studio. We did the whole album in 2 sessions. We had one midnight session. That was the first night. We did two hours of basic work. The next day, we did a straight 5-hour session to get the last of the recordings done. He had it mixed and mastered the next day. And, you know, we threw the cover, you know, we got the cover art together. One of his buddies did the cover art for it. We got the liner notes together, and it was out. I mean, me and him just clicked.
Wow. See, yeah, that, you know, when you find somebody in a creative, like, aspect like that, that you click with, I mean, that, it's golden, yeah. I mean, and it shows in this. I mean, this, you know, this little collaboration you guys did, you know, Neon Signs, you know, Stone Left Unspoken, I mean, it shows. It's so different, and it's so, it's good. I mean, shit. It blows me away, and you know, geez, I mean, well, you've got a poem coming up here in the news. I got my coffee coming up, which should be out already, but it won't be until like probably tomorrow.
No, get out! Imagine
our
surprise.
Right. You're gonna get
I'm
it
perpetually
out.
Late.
You're gonna get
here.
It out
perpetually.
It's
yeah,
feel
but
late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to come out tomorrow.
That,
and you know what? We're doing a special Zygote in My Radio show tomorrow night. So you guys are all free to come in and talk and have fun. But anyhow, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, Mr. Walter Beck, how do you prefer me to address you? Walter Beck III, Walter...
Oh, well, you know... You can just call me Walter or Walt. Most people do.
I'm just gonna call you Walt.
Walt, that's a good name. That's a good name. That was my grandfather's name, Walt.
Mr. Walt. So anyhow, yeah. No, you know, I mean. Okay, so what, Walt? What got you into poetry in the first place? I mean, obviously poetry is not like your one and only thing. I mean, you have. So many
Jeez.
Different things going on.
You're
buddy.
Into everything. I want to know
yeah.
about the Civil War reenactments.
Yeah, exactly. This guy, he's got so much going
how
on.
Does one, how does one get into Civil War reenactment? I mean, that's...
Well,
wow.
that right there is a story in and of itself, and I will tell that story in just a second.
Okay.
But, you know, but I want to answer Brian's question first. As far as how I got into poetry, it's actually kind of funny because I've...
you know, I've often said, you know, that I don't consider myself a poet. I consider myself a frustrated musician who happened to find a typewriter to be his instrument of choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, I kind of stumbled into poetry by accident. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I played in local bands, you know, we never went anywhere. I think in 3 or 4 years of playing, I think I played 5, 6 shows maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't that successful. But, you know, never really had a lot of success in music. In fact, I often joke I had more success writing about music than I ever did playing it, which is true. You know, I'm a failed musician, but I get a hell of a lot of respect as an underground music critic. Old saying goes, you know. But anyway, so like I said, I kind of fell into poetry by accident. You know, to me it was just, you know, music on another level. And I just started, you know, writing, you know, I mean, now the early stuff I wrote is crap, you know. It's all,
uh-huh,
all this free verse is not punctuated, you know. I mean, it's shit, but hell, you know, when you're just starting out, it's all shit.
Well,
so,
some would argue it still is.
So, I actually didn't start writing seriously until I started at Vincennes University. My second year, I fell in with the Writers Guild, and they, you know, they were the first people to say, "Damn, man, you got something here."
Uh-huh.
I do. All right, fuck it, let's keep it rolling. You know, and just kind of how I got into it. I mean, you know, loved it ever since. You know, certainly not rich. I'm actually a piss poor unemployed freelance writer, so I'm way on the bottom of the fucking food chain. You know, I mean, still, it's been great so far. I mean, you know, I've got to see, you know, hell, last year one of my poems got nominated for, what the hell's evil? Postcard. It got nominated for a postcard last year.
Oh, no. You did not get nominated for a postcard, right? Oh, God. Don't get me started on the fish card.
Okay,
you know, no, I'm not going to go there right now. This is about you right now, and it's not about my disdain for the fish card. But, yeah.
hold it in, Brian. Hold it in,
right?
I'm holding it in, but it hurts. It's like a hernia.
I've been in some of the biggest underground literary magazines in the country. I got to be in an anthology with one of my literary idols last year. I mean, it's been great. And so far, I'm 13-0. I haven't gotten a bad review yet.
13-0?
I don't know how I pulled that off.
That's 13-0 with how many knockouts? That's a great record. How many knockouts? 13-0?
I would say they were all pretty good knockouts, because every critic who's ever touched my work seems to be surprised by it, which is always good. No, I believe somebody was asking me who my literary idol was. Well, I have many. Unfortunately, most of them are dead. The one I'm referring to specifically is a gentleman by the name of Raymond Lusak. I don't know if you guys have ever read any of his work. He's been, you know, he's been doing it for years. A hell of a writer. And he got a hold of me last year. He was putting together this anthology of Midwestern poets. He got a hold of me and he said, "Hey, you want to be in this?" I was like, "Well, fuck yeah." And, you know, got in the anthology. The anthology's called Among the Leaves. You can get it through Squares and Rebel Press. Personally, I think it's some of the best work I had printed last year.
Do you have the website
awesome
for that? People who hear this or are listening?
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to have to wait a minute because this requires me to operate while
three. Sorry, I'm giving you the old Jeopardy. Yeah, thing there.
Oh, why the hell not? You already get, you know, I already got the Peter, Paul, and Mary intro. You know,
Brian's interlude. Every week, Brian plays the Puff.
Puff, the magic dragon. Yeah.
you're lucky he had started, you know, reading poetry and masturbating. And
well, you know, it,
And Frank Diary. You told me how he was. I mean, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm pantsless.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, he does it. He does it in the Anne Frank voice.
Oh God, his British Valley girl, you mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
when,
you know.
We're not going off on the Anne Frank tangent right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are not. But I do have my Anne Frank diary right next to me, just in case. But
yeah, in case we got to get off.
I need another drink.
So, we are focusing
anyway,
right
the,
now.
The website is squaresandrebels.com.
Squares.
Say that again. Squares and Rebels.
Uh-huh.
Squaresandrebels.com is the website we can find about.
So spelled literally Squares and Rebels, A-N-D
.com. Yep.
All right. Squares and Rebels, ladies and gentlemen, .com. That's great. So, all right, you know, I gotta ask.
Damn it,
I gotta ask about the Civil War reenactment, man. I mean, how did that come about, and when? I mean, that to me, I'm envious. That's something I've always wanted to do. And why? Why did you choose the South? Why did you choose to be a Confederate? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, you're a Confederate. This is more interesting than I thought.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Like most things, I fell into it by accident.
By accident, okay.
No, yeah, but well, it's a true story. Dig this, right? You know,
okay.
I've been a history buff for a long time. It's something I get from my old man. You know, he's a big history buff. Kind of passed that interest on to me. You know, and it was in August of 07. I was still at Vincennes. I'm down there hanging out with the guys, and, you know, we got, you know, stereo on, you know, blasting some Slayer and shit. And one of our buddies, Chris, you know, all I heard was blah, 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 Civil War reenacting. So I paused the stereo and said, go on. Well, it turns out the unit that she was in, the 18th South Carolina Light Siege Artillery, was doing a reenactment. I was doing a reenactment right there in Vincennes the next month.
Uh-huh.
So I asked her, I said, are you guys recruiting? I mean, is there an open spot? She was like, well, talk to the captain and talk to the sergeant, you know, see what happens. And, you know, I did my first event with them, had a blast, been doing it ever since. Like I say, I just kind of fell into it.
Yeah?
You know, why the South? You know, either Dr. Quinn and, was that right, Dr. Quinn, right?
That's right.
Dr. Quinn and Mr. Kaczynski.
Mr. Kaczynski, I was going to say, I couldn't remember the name of the other Yahoo.
Yahoo, thank you.
I believe you asked me, you know, why the South, why the Confederacy? It's simple. They were the ones that asked.
Okay.
Well, you know, these are valid questions.
They were the ones to ask.
Besides, I mean, you know, to be, you know, I guess to look at it from a, I don't want to say a personal standpoint. It's not quite the right word, but that's the word I'm going to use anyway. I mean, you know, somebody like me. I mean, because reenacting is an expensive hobby, you know. If you're thinking about getting into it,
yeah,
I'm
no
tell you
doubt.
Right now.
Oh, yeah, dude.
What kind of cost do you incur, you know, because I've never done something like that. Yeah.
Let's see. There's uniform, powder, caps, musket, tent.
And you have to pay for all of that?
Yep. Now, I still don't own a musket. I'm still using a loaner, but that's because a musket costs about $1,000, and I make jack shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
right.
Wow, yeah. Now, is that period? Is the uniform an actual uniform that was worn by the Confederates?
Oh,
no.
God, no, dude.
In a museum. Come on, Kaczynski.
I was say, yeah, he's a...
We've got some place out here in Elmira, some hell town or something. They've got some battle field, and some of them brag that they wear actual, you know, P
Confederate and North uniforms, so I didn't know.
Wow.
And you know what those kind of people are called? Rich douchebags.
Yeah, no
shit. They
could be. Corning Inc. is here. They could be rich douchebags.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the reproduction uniforms aren't cheap. I probably have close to $1,000 wrapped up in my uniform just for the uniform.
Good Lord.
You know, I mean, now granted, that's been over the course of the years. I mean, you know, I got a lot of stuff on trade and all that sort of thing. So, but as I was saying, you know, one thing, you know, I guess for a guy kind of like me, you know, getting in a hobby, you know, where, you know, and cash is kind of short. The nice thing is, if you go Confederate, as a reenactor, the uniform tends to be a little bit cheaper, you know.
Seriously? Confederate uniforms are cheaper than Union, huh?
It's
Why
true.
Is that?
You know, you can, well, that has to do with a lot of, you know, historical portrayals. I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, pictures and that sort of thing, you know, Union troops, you know, it's very, you know, it's very formal. You know, the regulations were attempted to be followed to the letter because, you know, the North had the material to make the uniforms and all that sort of thing. You know, if you're a Confederate, you can go out on the field ragged as hell and look completely historically accurate. You know, to give you an example, the first event I did, my uniform consisted of a kepi, you know, a hat.
Right, kepi,
shirt,
yeah.
Shirt, suspenders, trouser, belt. That was it. I went out on the field barefoot.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
So you were
under
the Virginia
contingent
then.
A uniform strip, you know, you take a uniform, strip it down to the bare essentials, yeah, you'll save money. Yeah. Plus, you know, a guy like me who kind of looks ragged anyway, you know, it just kind of fits.
I'm not going to
say anything further than that because I don't want to come off sounding like Paula Deen.
Oh, you don't sound like Paula Deen at all.
Ooh, Paula.
At all. No. We're not even going to, you know, no, we're not even going to.
Oh, yeah, I was
going to
say, I got to admit, that is one thing that annoys the piss out of me as a reenactor, particularly a Confederate reenactor. At every event, I always get somebody accusing me of being a racist. I'm like, I'm not racist. This is a hobby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking, I mean, you okay. I know you're not a racist. You're from Indiana, man. Ain't nobody racist from Indiana. But
the
history of the state.
No, we're not racist over here.
Where
the Ku Klux Klan started.
Well, it didn't start in Indiana, but I was going to say, yeah, Indiana's not racist. No, not at all. No, we only had the Ku Klux Klan running our state government in the 20s. Yeah, we're not racist at all.
Yeah, we ain't got no KKK in Ohio either, man. I'm like right next to you, the state next over, but all right. Yeah, well. Man, you know, what else? I know, okay, yeah, so you are a Civil War reenactor, you're a poet, you're a writer, and you have your own blog talk radio show, I know that too, and, you know, on top of that, do you not do, like, acting for, or whatever, for Rocky Horror Picture Show? Is this true?
As a matter of fact, I do. In fact, I was going to say, I know you said you're doing a, Zygote in my radio tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going to say, I'd love to join you, but I'm going to be on the midnight stage tomorrow, so.
Uh-huh.
I will be at the
midnight
theater.
Stage? For what?
For Rocky Horror.
Excellent. Where at? Where can people go see that?
If anybody's listening in who's from the central Indiana area, the theater is the Irving Theater in Indianapolis. It's on East Washington Street. Doors open at 11 o'clock. Admission is $5.
All right.
And
okay.
If nothing else, all your listeners, even if they don't live in Indiana, should come out to the show just so that they can see me in drag tomorrow night.
Okay. Speaking of drag, what role will you be portraying here in this?
Well, tomorrow. Yes. Tomorrow is a new horizon for me. You know, I've been been going to Rocky for 8 years. I've been
8 years.
Involved with,
wow.
8 years. I mm-hmm. first went in June of 2005. I've been involved with 3 different casts. I've done shows mainly in Indianapolis, but I've also done shows in Terre Haute and Bloomington,
mm-hmm.
Hobart, up in northern Indiana.
Shut the front door. You've been all the way up in my neck of the woods.
Yep, front door.
Nice.
Matter of fact, last August, I went up to Hobart and went up to the theater there and played the role of Rocky Horror. I was the creation.
Dude, nice.
Oh, wow. Needless to say, photos of me wearing nothing but gold LeMay hot pants came as a shock to a lot of people.
Sure.
Great.
So what do you think of Hobart, Shaw?
You know, shorts so tight you can tell what religion I am. But tomorrow night, you know, usually with the cast that I'm currently in now, which is Transylvanian Lip Treatment, is the name of the cast.
Uh-huh.
I normally play the criminologist, although I fill in for a couple other roles. Tomorrow
uh-huh.
night's a bit of a different story. I got a panicked 1 a.m. phone call from our cast director a couple nights ago asking me to play Janet, so I will be playing the role of Janet Weiss tomorrow.
Wow, Janet, huh? How are you going to pull that off?
That is awesome.
That is awesome,
sure,
dude.
Well, I'm sure as hell not going to tape it back because I'm proud of what I got between my legs.
Right.
Excellent.
A little duct tape will fix it.
Wow, where are you on Gold LeMay hot pants? Holy shit.
Huh?
I said, I'm looking at your pictures right now. There you are in hot pants.
You know, you're welcome to send me a friend request before you stalk.
Yeah, no kidding.
I did.
I have to apologize for Dr. Quinn because she is kind of a creepy stalker.
Yes.
At times, yes. But you know, seriously,
yeah. I mean,
seriously.
She had a boyfriend who didn't know her name for the longest time.
Seriously, Walt, though. Okay, so you said you've been doing this, Rocky Horror, you know, acting for a long time. Do you have a favorite particular role or character that you like to portray when doing this?
As far as the roles that I've, you know, actually portrayed,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I always kind of like doing the criminologist, especially, you know, with the cast we have in Indy, because
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of the dry comic relief, you know. I'm the, you know, like, you know, doing, you know, kind of like doing, well, I am, you know, I do it kind of airplane style, if you get what I'm saying here.
Oh, airplane. You mean the movie Airplane, right?
Whoa.
That's great.
I was going to say, Brian, I know you're a geezer. I know you get the airplane.
You're a geezer, Brian.
I'm definitely a geezer. I got my walker here.
Oh, shit.
That's great, man. Oh, shit.
By the way, just a comment on something you said in the first half when you were interviewing Lo. I know you said something about an 8-track and how, you know, he's too young to get the reference of an 8-track.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Dude, I'm 26 years old. I have a working 8-track stereo.
Do you really? You're only 26? You're shitting me.
Oh, jeez. Let's see, hit the big 3-0.
You're only 26, Walt?
Yeah, I'm only 26.
Holy crap. Wow. Okay.
That's right. Like you said, Brian's a geezer. You know, 26 is young.
I am. I'm going on 42 here soon, guys. Wow. Okay.
Oh, 42. No. 42. Jesus.
You'll be taking them purple pills pretty soon, Brian.
Oh, I don't take any pills. I just imbibe the, poacher grenades. 50% vodka and 50% diet Pepsi.
But anyhow, wow. you know what? We actually have another caller here. Yeah, we do. Let's bring this caller on. They've been holding for a long time. Let's bring them on and see if they have any questions or what. We'll see here.
I don't know, man. Let's say maybe they got questions.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Walt? Are you ready, everybody? Here we go. Brace yourselves. Who knows? Who knows?
Just pick up the damn phone.
Hello, 206 area code. You're on live finally, and I apologize for the long wait. Hey.
Oh, why would I ever not wait for the Brian Fouget?
Who is this? Is this Ryan?
No
Snellman?
One on earth said ever to Fouget.
Is this Ryan Snellman?
Yeah, you know, I had to give my 2 cents from, you know, down in the heart of Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
This
is Ryan Snellman.
The ankles I've ever seen.
This is Ryan Snellman.
Do you have a question for Walter?
Do you want to
abuse Walter?
Ryan Snellman is, you know,
our resident baseball guy
who is traveling from,
wow,
like, you know, he's doing his whole, like, I don't know, bucket listing, going from one baseball stadium to the next.
Do they have baseball in Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City.
It's the only form of recreation the Mormon Church allows, right?
Yeah, is it?
I don't know.
Well, and of course they have to have baseball. You know, you got to have somewhere to drag your 5 kids out on a freaking Friday night.
Your five wives, yes.
Yeah, you know, I have never seen a baseball stadium filled with more toddlers than anywhere else in the country.
Really?
I mean, there was probably 8,000 people there, and about 5,000 of them were like kids that were ankle fighters.
Oh, God, that is my idea of
call.
Jesus.
Wow. Well, Ryan, okay, so divulge to us what the name of the baseball team. I assume it's a minor league team, right? Single A, double A, triple A? What?
Triple A team called the Salt Lake Bees.
The Salt Lake
Bees?
Yes.
The Salt Lake Bees.
Do they even serve hot dogs at their stadium? The Mormon hot dogs or what?
I wasn't even paying attention to half what was going on in the stadium because I just couldn't get past all the freaking kids. I mean, I've never seen that many kids.
You know, and the women are so white they'll blind you. I mean, you know.
Of course.
That's assuming
more than their head is uncovered.
Who won the fucking game, Mr. Snellman?
Well, that would be the Salt Lake Bees lost tonight to the Tacoma Rainiers.
I'm not surprised that the Salt Lake City team lost. I mean, no offense, but you know, you'd think that magic underwear would kind of ride up on you during the
magic underwear. So yeah. What? Okay. How would you rate the hot dogs at the stadium? Did you eat a hot dog?
Mormon wieners.
Did you chew them or just take them whole?
Oh, you got to eat them whole. No. Just, you know, grab a hole and stick it all the way in.
Wow. Take me out to the ball game. Wow.
There's something wrong with having skills.
So, did you enjoy the game? I got to ask.
Oh.
Did you enjoy the game?
Of course.
Of course.
I always enjoy it. I enjoy checking things off my list. Besides, besides the fact that now I never have to come back to Salt Lake City ever again as long as
right,
I live.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't want to go
there.
So, well, you know, do you enjoy watching grown men with big wood, you know, big pieces of wood hitting balls?
Stop it now.
I'm trying
I don't know
to
about
him, but I sure as hell
stop it.
I'm sorry.
Well, some
what
of
was
them
it, Ryan? What was your
trying
response to big men with wood hitting balls?
Some of them out there are trying very, very hard, not getting anywhere.
Wow.
Okay. We all know how those Mormon missionaries pleasure themselves when they're on their missions. Come on.
It's no wonder they lost. You know, in the Mormon Church, it's a mortal sin to get to second base.
Well, that's why you skip second and go straight to home.
Wow. You all are a bunch of fucking sinners. So Ryan, Mr. Ryan Snellman, our resident baseball. So, what is your tally up to now as far as, like, Major League Baseball stadiums and minor league or whatnot? Give us an update. How many now after this?
Up to 15 for Major League, and this tonight makes 8. This makes 8 for minor league games.
Wow. Great.
And tomorrow night I'll be in Phoenix, and that'll make 16 for Major League.
Wow. Damn. That's impressive, man. That's impressive. Just wait until you come down here to Ohio, and we got you know, the Dayton Dragons, and we got the Cincinnati Reds, and Louisville Bats. There's three blue bam,
no
bam, and you know we might get arrested. Okay, I have a tendency to piss people off, and police get called and stuff.
Here we got the Elmira Pioneers, the Binghamton Bisons, and the Rochester Red Wings. So if you ever want to come out this way, let me know.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you, Brian. You mentioned baseball in Ohio and no mention of the Toledo Mud Hens.
Oh, the Toledo Mud Hens.
Yeah, come
right
on,
there. Right there next to the Toledo Mud Hens, like two times now. Right there. It's a beautiful little stadium. It's pretty much the Toledo Mud Hens Stadium is pretty much a replica of the Dayton Dragons single A stadium right here, like a few blocks away from my house.
Yeah, well,
it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, but MASH viewers don't know anything about the Dayton Dragons.
Only reason people know about the Toledo Mud Hens is because of Klinger from the TV show MASH. Okay? All right. So.
Why did it? Like I said,
Jamie,
you know,
Jamie Farr.
Viewers don't know the Dayton Dinkleberries, you know?
So, Ryan, are you prepared to hook up with me and go to a Dayton Dragons, a Reds game, and a Louisville Bats? I mean, I think it would be pretty phenomenal, but we might get arrested. You know, it will totally be my fault.
Well, what would be another trip to Ohio without getting arrested? I mean, come on. You can't do Ohio without at least one night in jail.
Or at least just getting, like, pulled over, you know? Just like,
all right,
assholes.
I mean, we've got to do our best impressions of Quinn, you know?
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Quinn, yeah. She's got the record.
Okay. I gotcha.
Tell them you have skin
disease. I didn't know where you were going there for a second, and then I'm like, okay.
Gotcha. Remember, you have a skin disease.
She does.
Yes.
Wears flip-flops
yes.
in the jailhouse.
The
yeah.
next time you get thrown in jail, you have a skin condition. And they will put you in a private cell.
Well, it's good to
all
know.
Right.
It's good to know the routine.
That's right.
That's kind of gross.
Hey, I'm nothing if not, you know, helpful here. So.
Well, Mr., we still have on Mr. Walter Beck.
Yes.
Walter Beck.
Well, we
yes.
didn't get
yes,
into
indeed.
We didn't get into your activism and stuff.
Oh,
because you're
yeah.
that's
almost probably
yeah,
a whole entire different show.
Yeah, I was
probably.
Just going to say we could do a whole other show with Walter Beck on. He does so much.
Yeah. I agree. You know what, Walter Beck?
And I promise I will not drink Mark's Hard Lemonade next time. Drink double clear.
But you've already ruined your street cred with that. He already knows your voice.
I'll bust out with the 1792 bourbon.
There we go. That's, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it now.
Walter, we definitely have to have what? You on again, man. Are you,
oh, well,
Walter?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Definitely. We have to have you on again. There's so much, I mean, like I said, you have so much going on, man. You're doing so many different things. And we have to have you on again here sometime in the near future, if you don't mind. Definitely, because there's so much more you could talk about. You have so much going on. You're such a creative person, and, you know, you're just, you're dynamic. I mean, seriously, you're very dynamic. You have, you know, all this creative stuff going on, and you have real life stuff going on, you know, with all the activism and everything. I mean, just seriously, just bam, you blow me away, man. Would you mind coming back on?
What is your blog radio show on, Walter? Something about Blog Talk Radio Show?
Yeah, it's called Walt's Madhouse. It usually broadcasts on Friday nights. I actually planned on broadcasting tonight, but Brian got a hold of me and said, "Hey, can you be on the show tonight?"
Sure.
All right.
Hey, wait a second, Walt. I do recall being on your show like last second there.
Well, good for you. What do you want? A cookie?
No, I want to go Scott. I want to go Scott, dude.
Yeah, Brian. Brian wants a teething cookie.
Well,
teething cookie. Wow. Really? You went there? Teething cookie?
Yeah, I went there. I went there.
You some bitch.
It's been 2 weeks since I've been able to abuse somebody, damn it.
Wow. Okay,
well,
we're going to
orphanage.
Well, you know what? We're down to like the last minute or so of the show.
We have Zygote in my radio tomorrow.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, yes. Tomorrow night we'll have a fun improv, like kind of like spontaneous show, Zygote in my radio, just promoting the new issue of Zygote My Coffee, number 142. And just having fun. It'd just be like a free for all.
Yeah.
And,
yes, that means I got to be there so I can get, you know,
yeah,
more
you
than
better. You better
get people to read my column.
And then regenerate your alcohol, like,
well, you know,
than
two people to read my column. I want to get it live, so I better be there.
Of course, I'm done. I'm
all right, you know what, guys?
We're
down to, like, 30 seconds, so...
Thank you,
I want
Walter
to thank
Beck.
Everybody, my co-host and Walter Beck and Lo for being on tonight. And, you know, I'll see you all again tomorrow night, midnight, for Zygote My Radio. Just we'll have some fun. Ready? All right. In the meantime, we're just, you know what? I'm going to just flush this motherfucking show right down the goddamn toilet. Here we go. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.